In a world brimming with noise and distractions, finding truth can be like a needle in a haystack. But what if there was a guide to help you navigate through the chaos? Introducing the Remnant Podcast with Jackie Wade, a podcast that delves into the heart of faith, spirituality, and life's biggest questions. Together, we will explore the depths of the Bible, tackle challenging topics, and seek out the true essence of living a life of faith in the digital age as a kingdom citizen. Each episode of The Remnant brings you insightful conversations, inspiring stories, and practical wisdom to empower your spiritual growth and help you to stay true to your faith in Jesus. Whether you're at home, on the go, or seeking a moment of peace amidst your busy day, The Remnant is here to uplift, enlighten, and inspire you. Subscribe to The Remnant Podcast on Podbean.com, iHeartRadio, Amazon Audible, Player FM, TuneIn, and Podchaser. Thank you for joining in on another episode of The Remnant Podcast.
I want to thank you for joining us on The Remnant Podcast. And we have an important topic that I want to go over with you all on today. We're going to discuss what spiritual warfare is. We're going to look at the scriptures as it pertains to being girded, being clothed properly against the tactics of the enemy, that we would understand that we have power. Most of all, we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Again, I want to thank you for joining me on the Remnant Podcast. And so let's get into what spiritual warfare is. I want to give you the definition here. The spiritual warfare, from a biblical perspective, refers to the battle between spiritual forces of good and evil that believers engage in as part of their faith. When we look at spiritual warfare, this concept is grounded in the belief that behind this physical world that we operate in, visible to us, there is a spiritual realm where forces of darkness that is led by our enemy Satan and forces of light led by God and his angels are in constant conflict. And we as believers are called to participate in this warfare through prayer, by our faith, and adherence to God's word. We are to resist the evil and stand firm in our spiritual commitment. And I want you to look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18. Turn to your Bibles, because this is perhaps the most direct treatment of spiritual warfare in the Bible. This is where Paul urges the believers to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. And in this chapter, Paul identifies our struggle not as against our flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And so the armor of God includes the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace as shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And prayer is emphasized as the means by which believers engage in the spiritual battle. We also can look at 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 5, where it addresses the power of God to demolish strongholds, arguments, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And Paul, again here, he speaks to the spiritual warfare involved in the battle of ideas and thoughts, highlighting the need for a believer to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's dealing with the thoughts, the mind, that we would bring it into the subjection and have the mind of Christ. And so when you ask what spiritual warfare is not the type of warfare where we're fighting people. It's not the type of warfare because you're mad at me, now I need to be mad at you. No, we have to understand that there is a spirit behind what happens and between the tension, the disagreements between even in your thoughts. There is a spirit behind it. And once we can identify that we're no longer fighting flesh and blood, and as believers, we really have to remember this, because if not, you'll look at your sister and get mad or envious of, of that person when it's not that person. It's a spirit that's fighting, that's using, trying to use them, but now wants you to fight against the person, and that spirit comes to dwindle down the kingdom, so we're not effective. But if we're all in the same body of Christ, we have to remember that this is a tactic that the enemy uses, so we won't be effective as the people of God to go against the enemy that we have to go against. Because really, you're not my enemy, you're my sister. I have to identify the spirit for which this is coming from. And so when we look here in James, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, it instructs believers to submit to God and to resist the devil as a way to engage in spiritual warfare. So turn, resist the devil, and he'll flee. See, the promise here is that if you resist the devil, he will flee. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And I hope you guys are writing this down so you can go back at your leisure and review it. Because these are vital scriptures in the Bible that helps us identify how we are to engage in battle and what we are to protect as we engage in battle. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 warns the believers to be sober-minded and watchful. Because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Believers are urged to, we have to remember to resist him and to stand firm in our faith. And then we have to look at Revelation, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 12, where it provides a picture of spiritual warfare. It gives you that cosmic picture. It depicts a war in heaven between Michael and his angels, and the dragon, which is identified as the devil or Satan, and his angels, culminating in the devil being thrown down to the earth. So, when we look at spiritual warfare, we can see the believer's struggle is against sin, is against the devil, and the principalities and powers of this world. It is a call to vigilance, a call to prayer, a call to be steadfast in your faith, underpinned by the assurance of God's ultimate victory over evil. See, we are encouraged to equip ourselves with spiritual virtues and the Word of God, and to remain prayerful. But guess what? We have to remain watchful as we navigate through these challenges of life within a broader aspect of spiritual conflict. So, when we look here, we see Ephesians 6 and 12 in the King James Version helps us to understand spiritual warfare. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Have you ever been trying to get a promotion on a job, or you were trying to advance and it just felt like people were blocking you, situations were coming against you? That's an example of spiritual wickedness in high places. When we look at different things, even in our government, in our politics, and politics is just about everywhere today, we have to remember that there are spiritual forces that will try to hinder your progress. It will try to hinder you and I progress from becoming all that God wants us to be. And so we have to be dressed appropriately. We have to be in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, ultimately asking God to give us revelation and understanding so that we can see exactly the things that is happening. So now we can go into prayer. We can stand in our clothing, our spiritual clothing properly, and we can defeat the tactics of the enemy. Amen. So the nature of spiritual warfare is not against people, like we stated, it's against spiritual forces. I want to talk about the armor of God, Ephesians 6:13-17. It tells us to put on the armor of God. Here it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're going to go through this. Let's talk about the armor of God. It says, take on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. I want to go through this. When we go through this, we're able to see briefly each piece of the armor of God as it has been described. Now, each piece carries a deep spiritual significance, symbolizing the various aspects of our faith that the believer is called to embrace when in the spiritual battle. The belt of truth represents the importance of truth in a believer's life. Regardless of what you go through, if you stand in truth, if you walk in truth, people may try to pin bad things on you or talk about you. But if your heart is sincere towards God, if you're being true, God will vindicate for his people. It symbolizes integrity, honesty, and the foundational truth of God's word. We have to understand the belt of truth holds all the other pieces in of the armor in place. It's just like when you put on your clothes and you're putting on your pants or your skirt and you're tucking in your blouse. That belt is holding everything else into place. And so we have to remember, just as a belt secures the garments of a soldier, truth secures the spiritual life of a believer. And it protects us from deception and lies that the enemy will try to throw at us. Next, let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness covers the chest, right? Which houses the heart. So we have to protect our heart. Our scripture, we know, gives us, creating me a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit. But we also have to remember there is a breastplate of righteousness, and it symbolizes the righteousness that comes from faith in Christ Jesus. It protects the believer's heart against the accusations, against the guilt that the enemy, he will throw it at you. There will be times in life where you will go through this. But this breastplate of righteousness serves as a reminder that we're standing before God. And because we're standing before God, it's not based on our own merit, but on the righteousness of Christ. So we're putting on this breastplate of God's righteousness. Then it talks about the shoes of the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel of peace represents the readiness and stability that come from the gospel. It enables the believer, it enables you and I to be able to stand firm in the face of opposition and to move with purpose to share the good news of peace with others. This peace is not only a personal tranquility, but it also calls for reconciliation between God and humanity, which is made possible only through Christ Jesus. So we have to remember, stay in peace, walk in peace, live in peace, walk by the word of God so that you will be able to have the power and the victory to keep moving forward in peace. Then we talk about the shield of faith. The shield of faith is used to extinguish those darts that the enemy will throw at us. It represents doubts. With someone or you're sometimes it's not even other people, it's our own self, where we can doubt what God is really wanting to do in our life because we don't see it when we expect to see it. Now we're doubting that God is going to do it. You have to come against that, and you have to remember to walk in faith, to believe by faith. So we have to put those darts out of the enemy. It represents those doubts. It represents those temptations. And it also represents other attacks. Our faith in God is a promise. And it also allows us to have a shield from the assaults of the enemy, providing us with protection and assurance that God is in control. And his victory is certain, people of God. Listen, God cannot fail. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean it won't happen. It's just it's not happening in your time or my time, but it happens when God wants it to happen. And that's according to if it's in his will. Some things we want to happen may not be in the will of God for our lives. And that's where prayer comes in at, so that we can accept the will of God And we will stop thinking that just because we pray a certain thing, it just has to happen. We have to pray the will of God to come forth in our lives. Next, it talks about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is powerful because it protects our mind. And our mind is where everything starts. Our mind is like our computer. Our mind gives us direction. It keeps us focused. And so we have to remember the helmet of salvation is powerful. It symbolizes the assurance that safeguards our thoughts. Everything happens from a thought. Everything. And so if we can remember to secure our position in Christ by guarding our minds, by guarding our doubt and despair, and those things that will try to disable us from thinking clearly and rightly about our identity in God, we want to be able to protect our mind so that we can see ourselves as God sees us, that we can go forth in this earth and accomplish what God has put on our life to accomplish. Each person has been born with a mission, has been born with a purpose. And so until we can understand that our mind is one of the most valuable, vital aspects in the kingdom of God, it says, let this mind be in me, which is in Christ Jesus. I mean, how Christ thinks be in me, so I could think like Christ, that I could talk like Christ, that I could walk like Christ, that I could love like Christ, that I could forgive like Christ, that I could be all that God has called me to be. But it's only in Christ Jesus. And by that, we have to turn from our way. We have to turn from our thinking. We have to turn from how we want things done and allow God now to deposit those things in our mind so that he can accomplish his will through us. We're just vessels, people of God. And God is wanting to use us mightily. And then we want to talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is really the only offensive weapon in the armor. It represents the word of God. It signifies the power of the scripture to counter lies and attacks. It provides us with wisdom, with guidance, and most of all, with authority. Hallelujah. And just like a sword, it requires a skill and familiarity to yield off effectively those things that the enemy will come against us with. And so we have to remember, we have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to know the word of God. We have to be familiar with the word of God, because when the enemy comes in, we're able now to use the word to cut them up, to break it down, to annihilate those things that he's trying to come against you and I with. And we have to remember the importance of knowing and applying the Bible in every aspect of our lives. I want to encourage you that if you don't know how to really read the Word of God, get you a little journal, and in the back of your Bible, you'll see topics. And based on that topic, say if it's peace and you're looking for peace, write out the scriptures in your journal just for peace. And when you pray, pray those scriptures, because we can also put our angels on assignment as we pray. But remember, our angels are only able to work according to the word of God. And we want to pray those things, pray the word, because why? It's the sword of the Spirit. When we pray the word of God, things change. May not change instantly. Sometimes it will change instantly. But the more you know the word, the more you become versed in the word, it's going to help you. It's going to build you up. It's going to allow you to be very familiar with that particular topic. So if you're looking for peace, write some scriptures on peace. If you're looking for deliverance, write the scriptures that's on deliverance. If you're looking for how to love, write the scriptures on love. If you're looking on how to have more power, you want to know more of the Holy Spirit, write those scriptures down in your journal, so that way when you just want to look back, you're looking strictly through the word of God. You're reading the word of God, and most of all, you're praying the word of God. I hope that this has been a blessing to you on today. I didn't want to overwhelm you, but I did want to come on and just review what spiritual warfare is and how we are to use those things that God has given us against the wiles of the enemy. Remember, we are to Remember Ephesians 6:13 and 17 is our memory verse, our memory scripture, should I say. It's the armor of God. And again, it says, put on the whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. People of God, we are in a time where we have to protect everything that God has given to us, our hearts. A lot of us love hard. We love people. And people can do things knowingly and unknowingly, but we sometimes have to realize that if we're struggling with something within ourselves, we have to have enough grace to forgive other people. However, when we know that it is from the enemy, we're not fighting a person, we're fighting a spirit. And this is how we stand. We stand with the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, having our shoes, our feet shod with the preparation, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith to quench those fiery darts, and the helmet of salvation. Why? It's going to protect our thoughts. It's going to protect our mind. And then we need the sword of the Spirit, which is powerful. It's the most offensive tactic that we have, because we will have times when we will need to quote the word of God against that situation. The doctors may tell you you're sick. Your family member may pass away. You may not have finances. Things may come against your children. You're going to have to know that you know the word of God, because the word of God will keep you in perfect peace, and it'll also fight your battles, and your angels will be assigned to that word, so now that they can assist you in warfare. Listen, I want to pray with you as we end today. I wanted to let you know that spiritual warfare is real, but we have the victory through Christ Jesus. If there's anyone that's listening today that have not given their heart to Christ, listen, I want to offer you the prayer of salvation. What better way to end a podcast listening in on today than to give your heart to Christ, so that you can experience this victory, this power that we have through Christ Jesus. If that is you today, I want you to pray with me and repeat these words with me. Father God, I thank you for an opportunity to come before your presence. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of anything I've said or done. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and he now lives in me. Thank you, Lord, that I am saved, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Listen, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that it's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we thank God on today. It says, if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. And so as today you confess with your mouth and you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. And that's Romans 10:9-13. I want to let you know that if you said that prayer, the angels are rejoicing with you. And listen, I am too. I know that now your life has been changed. You may not see it. You may have not feel it, but you have just transitioned over into the body of Christ, into the kingdom of God. But this is not enough. I want you to get into a Bible believing church where you could be taught of the word, because now your faith has to increase. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And guess, we have to remember that we need our faith increased in order to fight this battle, in order to be all that God has called us to be. I want to thank you for joining me again on an episode of the Remnant Podcast. Stay connected with us. You'll see all of the social media links where you can get connected. And also, get a free subscription on podbean.com and look for The Remnant Podcast with Jackie Wade and subscribe. That way, every time that we're live, you'll be notified. I thank you again for joining me. I love you all with the love of the Lord, and have a blessed, wonderful day. God bless you.
As we draw the curtain on another enriching episode of The Remnant Podcast, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to each one of our cherished listeners. Your support and engagement means the world to us. If you found inspiration, comfort, or a new perspective in today's episode, we invite you to share it with friends and family. Together, we can create a community of seekers and believers, united by the timeless truths we uncover. Remember to stay connected with The Remnant Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platforms to help us reach even more hearts. For daily doses of encouragement and updates, follow us on Facebook at The Remnant Podcast, on Instagram at The Remnant Podcast, and Podbean.com. Your journey doesn't end with this episode. There's more to explore, discuss, and discover together, and our prayer is that you will continue to prosper and be in good health and live confidently as a kingdom citizen.